All right, and where's we at?
Hi, I'm Samuel, and this is Duty. Have you signed up for the launch of There's an Alien in My Toilet on Kickstarter? I hope that you do. It's going to be a hilarious ride. The link is in the summary. See you there.
What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have a special guest, Sean Haynesworth, and he is the creator of The Killing Machine, book one. It's on Kickstarter. It's live right now, and we are coming up live next.
Let's get it!
We are the only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Now you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze podcast. I am your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vero. And I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. Woo!
Come on, ride the train. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live again. It's the 8 o'clock Power Hour show, and we have a special guest today. It is Mr. Sean Haynesworth, and he's got a book called The Killing Machine. It's on Kickstarter. It's live right now. It's got about how many days we got left of this campaign?
13 days left.
He's made his goal. He's kicking butt. 47 backers. If you want to be a backer, sign on tonight. We're going to have the link in the chat. But before we do all of that, please subscribe to the channel. Hit the like button, comment below, do all of that other fun stuff. If you like comics or shows about independence, this is the show for you. We talk to independents weekly. We have all things related to the independents, not just comics. It's all kinds of independents. So that's what we do. And what's going on with you, Sammy? How are you doing today?
It's all about the dudester. Who's the dudester?
Talk to them.
There's the dudester. There he goes running. Sign up today. Have you signed up for There's an Alien in My Toilet? Well, if you haven't, you need to, right? You know, Deuterius Uranus is coming here from the planet Uranus, and he's going to take over Earth, and he needs 100 recruits on that ship. It costs 70 uranium chips, 280 uranium chips to travel from Uranus to Earth. That's very expensive for Uranus, right? So that's why he needs 100 recruits. He's got 70. So there's 70 of you that signed up. Thank you so much. But he has 30 more seats. He has 30 more seats on that UFO. So sign up. It launches on the 15th. There's an alien in my toilet. You don't want to miss it. It is fun. Who doesn't want to get on that ship with the Deuterius?
Deuterius. Yeah, but Sam, that's not all, man. That's not all. Tell them what they win if they sign up.
Oh, snaps.
Or don't tell them. Whatever you want.
A new card. So basically, if you sign up and if you put a post out there and you tag me.
Oh,
either at There's an Alien in My Toilet on Instagram or on Crash the Craze. If you tag me and you say, you know what, I'm a dudester, there's a special treat, and you'll find out what that is on the 15th of February when we go.
Nice.
Yes.
I like it. It's a win. So make sure that you start tagging. So who are they tagging? Tagging you or they're tagging There's an Alien in My Toilet?
If it's on Instagram, you can do Disney in My Toilet or Cast the Craze. Just tag me and saying I am a dudester, and your name will go in the list. And on the 15th for the live launch, there's a special treat.
Special treats. So you want to be checking out the show on February 15th. If you subscribe to the channel, just hit the notification bell for that show, and you'll get the notification that we're on. It's going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in New York or if you're in East Coast, it's going to be at 8 o'clock. If you're in the Midwest or in the middle of the country, in Texas, for example, it'll be 7 p.m. So do not miss the show. It's going to be a good time. We always have a good time with these live shows. It could be a lot of fun stuff. Sam's got a lot of surprises. Like I said on the show prior to this one, I'm privy to some of the information that goes on. So I know that there's some really cool stuff coming from Duty, and there's an alien in my toilet. So you don't want to miss that. And you don't want to miss pledging to the campaign, because the campaign is fun and it's going to be great. So you definitely want to do that. That is one of the two campaigns that we are promoting, and we will be promoting for the next few months, I would say. The other one is The Adventures of Wonder Duck, which is
Wonder Duck.
My baby. That is my project. If you don't know who there is, there's an alien. I always say that. If you don't know who Wonder Duck is, definitely check out my website, getyourmedswithaz.com. I have a whole, just a lot of information on there. There is a graphic novel available about him right now, but the next chapter of that story goes to Kickstarter, and that is chapter 5. That will be on Kickstarter in May. But right now we have a pre-launch page that is live, and you'll get all the links and everything here on the show. But if you do sign up now, if you sign up to the page right now,
here comes the candy man. He's giving candy away.
If you sign up to the page right now for The Adventures of Wonder Duck, okay, and you go to The Adventures of Wonder Duck on Instagram, and you send me a message and say, "Hey, George, I just signed up," send me your email, and I will email you an exclusive PDF that it will not be available. It will not be available on the campaign for anybody else, only those people who supported the campaign before it even came out. And so what happens is, if you do pledge when the campaign goes live, then I will send you a printed 8x10 version of the same print to you in your package when I send out that that campaign. So it's a thank you for everyone for supporting.
He's giving it all away.
I've already sent a few out. I actually, Michael San Martin, if you're watching, I got to send you yours. So thank you guys so much for the support already. And this is our way of saying thank you. Sam's jumping on board. He's giving away stuff too. You know what I mean? This helps everybody.
So
the only people that win are the fans.
I do want to say there was a call to action. You know, Pops went out there and he did tweet, "Who's a dudester?"
Wow.
Thank you so much, Pops. And I want to say welcome, Biff Bam Boom Comics, to the live chat.
What's up?
The crazies are coming out. The crazies are coming out to play tonight. Fantastic.
So you haven't put up their things at the bottom there. You haven't posted what they're saying.
Yes. You know what?
Done that.
What the hell? Thank you.
Oh.
I forgot all about that. See, I'm not used to this. There's technology. Go. Look at that.
Look at that. Pops.
I forgot I have that function. Conjunction, junction.
You can let them know. Big shout out to Biff Bam Boom Comics. They've been on the show in the past. So big shout out to you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and subscribing to the channel. We appreciate you guys. And we appreciate all 500 and what are we at?
539 subscribers to the channel. Thank you so much. We got a couple of new subscribers this week. Thank you so much for subscribing to this podcast. Also want to give a shout out to Hardcore Comics.
Big time.
They're in New York. Where is it? Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Dobbs Ferry, New York. My man Debo.
Yeah, so they are supporting Dudarius Uranius, and they have our promo stuff in their store. Thank you for supporting the indies. Yeah. Also, thank you. What was the other one from last week?
The Spider's Web in Yonkers, New York. Yes. Thank you so much to Paul and the guys over there for supporting Duty. And I stopped by today over at NYHC Comics. And dude, Debo, my man, you are so supportive. Thank you so much. I walked in there. I said, "Can I leave this on your counter?" He said, "Yeah, dude, right there. Put them right there. No worries."
Same thing to Raise Comics in California.
Yes.
Thank you so much. They have our cards there in their store. And thank you to the Dragon's Lair in Austin, Texas.
Hello.
They just reached out and they said, "Send them over. We'll put them out. We'll give it to our patrons." So thank you guys for supporting the crazies and Dudarius Uranius. So that's pretty, nice to see that there are a lot of retailers out there showing love, because when I started hitting the pavement to the retailers in Texas, I got 7 strikeouts. And so to get one in Austin, you know, in Dallas, I've been no love. But in Austin, yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, man. Listen, we got to help each other out. When we leave these cards in your store, what do you think? We're just going to sit back and just hope somebody walks in? No, we're on this show. We're on social media. We're promoting your store. We're telling people, go to that store. If you're in the Austin area, shoot. If you had been in the Dallas area, it would have been like, go to that store. That's where our cards are. If you want to check them out, go to that store. Guess what? They walk in there. They may not even pick up our cards. They may just go buy a comic just because they're in a comic book shop. Yes. So it's a win for you guys. You know what I mean? So let's support each other. Let's help each other out. Don't look at that. What am I going to get out of it? You're going to get foot traffic. We're promoting it. We want people in that store. So big shout out again to the stores that are already supporting us. We can't thank you guys enough. Thank you so much. And anything we can do for you guys, obviously we're going to do it. We have a show, we have a platform, and we're going to use it to help promote you guys. So big shout out to the Spider's Web, NYHC Comics, Race Comics, and the Dragon's Lair. And thank you so much, guys, for supporting. So the list is going to grow. The list is going to grow, and we're going to keep shouting you guys out. So.
Absolutely. So without further ado, we're going to bring our special guest on the show. But before we do, we'd like to play a bump for our kind of parts. So here's the bump, and then we're going to bring in Sean Hainsworth.
Hey there. This is Meredith Loughran with Ragin', and I wanted to let you know that we encourage and promote independent creators and their projects through organic interaction, consultations, and more. Visit Nita and me at RaginAVC.com for details and contact information. Hit the button.
All right. Welcome, Sean. How you doing?
Hey, thank you.
There he is. What's going on, Sean? How are you?
Not much. I'm good.
Good. So welcome back, everyone. We are here with Sean Hainsworth. He is the creator of The Killing Machine, and it's live on Kickstarter right now. But before we get to The Killing Machine, Sean, let's introduce you to the audience. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and all of that other fun stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Rhode Island. I lived in New York for about 10 years. I was in Washington Heights for about 10 years. And then moved out to rural Massachusetts. So now I'm in a fairly rural community out in Massachusetts. I started out doing film. I made a bunch of documentaries back in the 90s, some experimental films, things like that. Wrote some screenplays. And eventually, I've always sort of been a graphic novel, comic book fan. And eventually, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to make this thing myself. I'm going to find an artist and get this thing out here. And actually, I have never looked back because I love it. The process of making a comic book is so great and so satisfying. And having, you know, just being able to go back and forth with the artist and have a lot of control over how it looks and to get the story brought to life has been really awesome. So, So I started SHP Comics this year. I've got three comics launching in the next 3 months. Nice. So we've got the sci-fi action, The Killing Machine, we're going to talk about tonight. I got a comedy of horrors called Woodstake, which is about a vampire showing up at Woodstock in 1969. Nice. I've got a naughty 17-plus sex comedy, sort of like The Office with a company that makes sex robots called Erotic, E-R-O-T-E-C-H. So that's dropping in April. So sci-fi, horror, and comedy.
That's the beauty of being an independent, right? You can write about whatever the heck you want. You can put out whatever the heck you want. And that's the freedom that you have when you do something like this. You mentioned you were from Rhode Island. I love Rhode Island. I love going up to Newport. I think it's gorgeous out there. What part of Rhode Island did you grow up in?
I grew up in Barrington. It's just south of Providence, kind of on the way to Newport. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little town. In fact, my mom still lives there. We take the kids there. They do a sailing camp in Jamestown, which is near Newport. Oh, nice. Every year there's like little sailing camp, you know, on a beach in a public park, and they have a great time. We love it out there. It's so nice in the summer.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. I mean, the summertime, it gets pretty expensive in Newport to go out there in the summertime.
We stay with my mom and drive down.
but it's beautiful. I mean, the water, it's right there. I want to do one of those tours one of these days where you go out into the ocean. But so growing up in Rhode Island, Sean, were you, what inspired you to write, or what inspired you to create? Was it comics? Was it just movies? Like, what was it?
I think it was a lot of movies at first. I definitely, you know, I remember the first comic book that really grabbed me and made me say, oh my God, was Watchmen. You know, and so that was probably early 80s. I'm old. I was born in 66. So I was 11 when Star Wars came out. And me and my friends were just blown away. And we, you know, my friend had a Super 8 camera. We started making goofy sci-fis and horror movies in the backyard. They were all like either trying to be Star Wars or trying to be Halloween, you know, some dude, one of us with a knife chasing people around, catch up and stuff like that, you know. I think I just fell in love with storytelling. And I it was kind of one of those things where I always felt like I'm going to do this at some point. I'm going to tell my own stories. And it took a while for it all to come together, but it's finally come together. Partially during lockdown, I had more time on my hands, so I was staying up late and writing, and that definitely contributed to it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I grew up. I visited my grandparents in Providence when I was a kid every summer, so nice. I spent a lot of time out there in the summer. And there was a local park that had a pool, a public swimming pool, and we used to go there. And they would also have for all the kids. Free lunch. I that's what I remember when I was a kid.
Nice. Yeah. Providence is a funny city. Back in the day, it was, you know, it was a little dicey. But there was a lot of alternative stuff going on because you had RISD, the Rhode Island School of Design, and you had, you know, Brown. And so there was definitely like these little pockets of interesting stuff going on. But then the city got a major makeover in the 90s and, you know, became a lot less seedy. But it was pretty seedy when I was taking the bus in there as a kid, that made it fun.
Yeah, it reminds me of what like New York was right back in the days too, like Times Square. Times Square isn't what Times Square is now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Times Square had the peep shows and all that other stuff.
Oh, Times Square was horrific.
Yeah, it was different. It was totally different than what it is now.
That's cool.
Yeah. But that's cool, man. So Star Wars was that thing that kind of, you know, just started the whole imagination and creating. Do you bring any of that like kind of stuff into your what you're writing in sci-fi now, or do you find that you've kind of like are saying to yourself, you know what, I don't want to be like Star Wars, I'm going to be completely different but still do my own sci-fi stuff? Do you find you kind of do that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say for Killing Machine, there's probably channeling more Star Trek than Star Wars. I think what's interesting with sci-fi is that you pick the place where you're going to be inventive, and then you have to rely on the genre for a bunch of stuff. Like, you can't invent everything, right? It would be some wacky story that would take way too long to explain. So I've always liked the kind of more like cerebral, sort of thoughtful science fiction. You know, Philip K. Dick and Arthur C. Clarke and, you know, a lot of those guys there was a lot of really interesting kind of heady science fiction that went on in the 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s and 70s. So what I'm trying to do here is mix up a comic that's got some really interesting ideas in it, but is, you know, just kind of a lot of action and fun and good characters. So, I don't want it to be too, too blah 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 thoughtful philosophical, but you know, that's what I like about sci-fi is you know not only can you create a world that can be whatever you want it to be, but you know, sci-fi is often dealing with, you know, the nature of life or the nature of time or the nature of, you know, whatever, and I like that aspect of it. I think that grounds it in something that makes it a little more interesting for me than other genres. So a lot of Star Trek in there in this one, in the way it turns the way the ship is and the battles and that sort of thing.
No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So we're talking about The Killing Machine, and we're talking to Sean Hainsworth here on the show. And so your Kickstarter is live right now. All right.
Yeah.
You're killing it, man. You're doing a great job. You have 13 days to go. You made your goal. So you're good to go. How stressful were like the first week, or like how soon did you fund
We funded in 8 hours, which was crazy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful. So I did a ton of work up front and it paid off. And that was just such a relief. It's like, okay, I funded. And you know, we didn't take the foot off the gas too much, but it became fun. It was like, okay, now let's see what we can do. Right. Now let's talk about stretch goals, you know. And the stuff that's more fun. So that took a lot of pressure off. I definitely called out the troops. So, you know, the early days was friends and family, you know, helping me get off the ground. So, you know, that was just a good feeling. You know, I was like, just get me started and we'll see how it goes. And that helped a lot.
That's amazing, because this is your first campaign. So this, you know, the first campaign can get a little, you know, oof, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm glad that you were able to, you know, do some of that work before. Where did you get some of these ideas to do that kind of stuff before? Because I know when we did our first one, we had no idea what the heck was going on. And it was like, oh, let's just see what happens. Where, yeah. How did you kind of work that out?
Was like, you know, there's got to be someone out there that can help with marketing, right? Because I don't know how to do this stuff. There's so many things I don't know how to do. So I ended up hooking up with Inked Marketing and Kevin Gillott, mm-hmm. who it was just great. He was like, okay, this is what you're going to do. You're going to write the story on the campaign page, and then we're going to review it. Right. And just that idea that somebody who's done 50 of these is going to review it was like a great relief. And reward tiers. I mean, you know, it was really, having never done it before, I learned a lot quickly. But, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is beat yourself up where you're offering all this crazy stuff that costs so much money. You know, it's like you do a variant cover and you spend $800, you know, to do the cover, and then you got to print the thing. And it's like, so I tried really hard to balance out rewards that were fun and cool mm-hmm. with, you know, things that I could actually fulfill fairly quickly and not break the bank doing it, because, you know, this is a big story. It's planned out as two books, and each book is going to be 7 issues. So it's big story that I want to tell. And so I'm trying to play the long game, right? Like you know, people are like, oh, you made your goal. That's great. It's like, no, I still really want to keep making as much as I can while it's open, because I'm trying to pay for issue 2. Like, we got the printing of issue 1 done. That was the goal. But now it's like, anything helps pay the artist for issue 2, and, you know, just keep the story going.
Well, Well, and that's the thing. And you know, just to touch on what you're saying, for those that are watching, when you have a campaign, as the person who's putting the campaign together, you have to think about what you're talking about, right? Sean, you have to think about all those things. But then what happens is, and you know, sometimes people may think, well, you already made the goal. Why do you want more money? Well, because remember, Kickstarter has to take a percentage of whatever is being made. Also, there are times when the campaign ends and some credit cards don't go through.
Yeah.
So you're losing out on some of that kind of stuff. So you always want to get more so that you do still have the money that you're going to need to actually print. And like you said, you're not in the hole for whatever it is. So for all those of you guys watching, it's not that, you know, creators are greedy, they just want more money. No. We need to make sure that we do have more than whatever it is we ask for in case stuff happens.
Yeah, but the shipping costs get tacked in, and that's not money in your pocket. You're using that money to ship stuff out. So yeah, absolutely. No, there's a lot that goes into it. And like you said, you know, it starts to, Kickstarter takes their piece, and you know, and all of a sudden it's like shrinking and shrinking, and what you actually end up with. But but you know, the other thing that's great is just starting to build an audience, right? I heard you're on your 5th issue. That's awesome, right? Doing my first issue, I'm trying to find my tribe of people who find the story interesting. So every little, you know, everybody, I don't care if people come and drop a buck in the chip jar, that's awesome, because, you know, that means they're interested in the project, and, you know, maybe they'll hop on next time, or maybe they'll read it, you know, and join the crew. So,
Right. Yeah. So I just want to say Hoarder's Hide says, hello, hey, guys. Welcome, Hoarder's Hide. So the title, what came first, the idea for the story or the title?
The idea for the story. So, they were somewhat related. So the idea for the story goes back like 10 years. I was sitting around watching way too many samurai movies, like watching every samurai movie that was ever made between the 1950s and 1960s. And, I started thinking about a robotic Ronin, you know, a masterless samurai that was a robotic warrior, this killing machine that had been created for warfare. And then its side of the war, you know, was defeated. And it was just kind of free wandering the galaxy, trying to in search of purpose. And that was the original idea. And so it was really originally called The Killing Machine, you know, book one of the Masterless Samurai series. The story evolved a lot since then. And I have more of a structure around that idea. But it started with the character, and it started with just like, you know, totally ODing on samurai movies, which is easy to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to play your promo.
Yeah.
For the audience, so let me just get that going.
Hi, This is Sean Hainsworth. I saw Star Wars when I was 11, and it changed my life. My friends and I started making Super 8 science fiction films in the basement. Here I am in a clip from our space adventure, Battle in Outer Space, complete with ski goggles. During that time, the old Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon serials from the 1930s and 40s were still on television, and the new Buck Rogers looked like this.
Someone isn't gonna like that.
I went on to study film in college, made a number of independent documentaries, and I've written several screenplays. For my day job, I work in computer science in the fields of machine learning and artificial intelligence. The idea for The Killing Machine started when I was watching a lot of samurai movies from the 1950s and 60s. The original concept was that Richter was a masterless samurai, a robotic warrior lost during battle who wandered the galaxy in search of purpose. I continued to develop this idea over the years, eventually replacing the samurai-inspired narrative with the story of the Hand of God. There are other references to my film background, particularly in the opening scene, which was inspired by the opening scene of Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in the West. I will be posting another video where I discuss Sergio Leone and this opening scene in more detail. I originally developed the idea as a partially completed novel and then as a screenplay, which has placed in several screenplay competitions. However, seeing the story come to life under the inspired work of Michel Fortin has been a real pleasure, and I now believe that this story was always intended to be a comic book.
I don't know about you guys, but I hate watching myself.
Dude, that was so informative, man. So great. I like all the little. I love that clip of you as a kid, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was good awesome.
Stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yes. So who did the your video for you, the production?
I did it. I actually just painted a green wall in the basement and filmed myself and then added some stuff. And, you know, I used to make documentaries and I did a lot of editing before. So, technically it wasn't that hard, but I don't think I lit myself very well.
Well, listen, yeah, you failed to mention that this was that this actually placed in some of these film festivals. Like that's incredible, man. That's great.
Yeah, you know, I would say what's really interesting too is if you are a writer of comic books, graphic novels, screenplay competitions are sort of fun. I mean, the formatting's not hard to get used to. Right. And what's great is oftentimes you get really good feedback and you can solicit feedback. And I am always trying to pull myself out of my own head and try to see what needs to get better, what's not working well, you know, where the story needs to be expanded or improved. And so I do kind of use screenplay competitions in that way. And, you know, it's just nice to place and get a sense of, okay, you know, they like this story enough that it made it to be a semifinalist or whatever. It makes you feel like at least you're on the right track, that the story's got some, you know, some pull to it. So I find the worst thing is when you get locked into your own story and you can't see outside of it, because it's always possible to make it better, or deeper or more interesting or whatever. So I find these competitions really useful, but at this point I'm done like with that part of it. Yeah. I know what the story is and now I just got to get it made.
What was it tough for you to kind of, to convert it from screenplay to comic? In other words, did you take, because, you know, when you're writing the screenplay, you're, you know, in a sense, you're seeing the way it's the story's supposed to go. Were you able to take away yourself from it and say, okay, artist, go ahead and be the director, so to speak, of this book now?
Yeah. And actually what's interesting is when you write a screenplay these days, you were really not supposed to put any visual, real visual direction in there. It's considered impolite to the director and the cinematographer. Like if you put close up on Richter, they're like, no, right, I'll decide where there's a close up. You write the story and I'll figure out what to put the camera, where to put the camera. So it's, you're actually discouraged from putting that stuff in. And I tend to overwrite that because I'm visualizing the scene in my head. And I have, strong ideas about how it should look. So it was actually a great relief to write it as a comic book where I could write it panel by panel and description by description, and to not feel like someone was going to A, ignore it, or B, you know, mark me down for trying to tell you how the story should be visualized instead of just writing a template. Screenplays are weird things because they don't exist, right? They're nothing. Nobody reads screenplays. They only exist for somebody else to take and make a movie out of.
Yeah.
If you're making a movie of your own screenplay, then great, you can do whatever you want. But if you're trying to sell a screenplay, you're really expected to just stay in your place and just do your little thing and hand it off, which is very unsatisfying in a lot of ways. I found the biggest challenge was cutting down the dialogue. When you have actors and you have more space for dialogue. But I honestly find comic books to be a more pure form because you have to boil it down to the essence. Like and figure out each panel and if the audience can infer what happened between the panels and if everything is clear and you have to do it in a very concise way and use minimal dialogue. So I find it more rigorous and more difficult. And I like it. I like it better.
No, you're right, because you don't want to have dialogue that's going to cover up all of that beautiful artwork that this artist just made, right? You have this big balloon with like tons of just words, and it's like, what happened to my artwork? Like, where did it go? So you're absolutely right. But this looks great, man. I love the how technical everything is. Like, it's so beautifully drawn. Tell us a little bit about your team and your artist.
Yeah, so the artist's name is Michel Fortin, and I was really lucky to find him, being kind of a first-time creator, and he just specializes in sci-fi. He's another geek who grew up on all the stuff, the Star Wars and the Star Trek and everything, and I have to say the best part of working with him is that he loves the technical details, right? So, I'll write something like, Richter is jacked into the computer or something. He figures out what the computer looks like, what the jack looks like, what's on the screen, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we'll go back and forth a little bit, but that's 99% him. He just loves inventing, technology and what things should look like and machines. And also buildings and, the planet, the surface of the planet. So he's just got endless creativity for that, which is awesome.
Yeah, there's a page with the fighter pilots, like that whole thing going back and forth. That's beautiful, man.
Is he also the colorist, or you have separate colorist?
No, he does everything. He's a one-man band. He's like, he does not want anyone touching his colors. And he's actually sent me one of his original files, and it was like, 80 layers in Photoshop. It's not just coloring. It's like he's got all, each layer is just adding like a highlight or this or that. I mean, he's really... really precise. I just let him do his thing, man. I just sit back and say, wow. This is definitely where you see like the Star Trek influence and the Star Wars influence with the battle. There's nothing original here in terms of the way the battle was fought, but hopefully you care about the characters and situation. It's exciting, it's well drawn, and it'll hook you in.
Yeah, no, this looks great, man. This looks great. Yeah. And this is what, book one of seven? Or issue one of seven, and then you'll have a part two, another seven, right?
That's the plan. Yeah. So issue one of seven for book one, and if I'm still alive, then we'll talk about book two, because the story will not fully resolve in book one. I know where book one's going to end, and there's more to tell, but it will end in book two. It's not going to be an endless thing.
Yeah.
Right. So we had a question from the chat from Anibal Arroyo, and he says, from the process of transitioning screenplay to comic book, were there characters that had any major changes to their arcs?
Yeah, that's a good question. The answer is yes. And I don't know if that's so much because of the transition from screenplay to comic as it was the story just kept developing. So the major characters' arcs stayed the same. But a good example of this is, sometimes in a screenplay, you'll write a character and you won't think too much of them because they're just sort of serving a purpose in the scene. But then when that character has to be drawn and, figure out exactly what they look like, and then you start to think about, well, where are they from and why are they there? And I think you do that when you go into production of a film as well. Sometimes in a screenplay, you can shorthand something and not pay attention to the details as you should because you're on that major. And so I think that producing it, Michelle will be like, well, why do they do that? And where do they come from? And that helps you start defining the arcs on the smaller characters more.
Okay, cool. So the who set up your page for your Kickstarter? Was it all you?
I set it up, and then Inked went in and like did a you know, cleanup. They just you know, I think we should move this here. We should cut this out. And they did all the graphics for the tiers because they've sort of been doing that a lot. So they do the tiers for me.
Nice.
It looks good, man. So what are some of the more popular? What is something that if somebody wants to pledge to this campaign, you would say, you know what, this is a good one. You guys should try this one out.
Yeah, well, what's good is that right now at all levels, because we hit our first stretch goal, you're also going to get a digital copy of Fractured Shards number one, which is a pretty successful sci-fi, quantum sci-fi comic book that I think people really enjoy. And our next stretch goal, we're going to include Frank Forte's Warlash, a digital edition. Hop in at the $10 PDF level and get three PDFs, which is pretty cool. Beyond that, I've got a lot of the regular things. We've got a signed sketch from Michelle. We got some really nice notebook journals for writers or artists. We got a hardback one at some of the lower levels, and then like a really nice kind of soft print, you know, leather one printed with the cover of The Killing Machine. So those are fun. We're going to send out a Spotify playlist, you know, robot tunes through the ages to everybody just for, you know, just for fun. I was really thinking of ways that I could say thank you and share something without once again incurring all these shipping costs or manufacture costs, that kind of thing. Because as a first time, as a first issue, you can't share the back issues and everything else. So I threw up there a conversation with me. If you want to, you know, hop on a call and talk about samurai movies or spaghetti westerns or your ideas for screenplays, then, you know, once again, I love meeting people and talking to people. So that's easy to do. I don't know how many of those people are signing up for, but yeah, we tried to keep it fun, stickers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, this looks great, man. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's good stuff. You have the, what is it? You can get the book for $15.
Yeah, you get the digital and the three digitals and the print. Yeah. Oh, and we got a behind the scenes book that I did, which talks a lot about, you know, how the story developed and actually how we visualize scenes, early drafts of things, my notes, how we move things around, that kind of thing. So that's digital at the lower levels. And then there's a print version of that as well. We're printing up a little 12-page behind the scene book.
Can you get that as an add-on? Like, can you actually?
You
can. All right. Yeah. That's cool.
Everything's going to be available as an add-on.
Yeah, I like that. That's real good. Especially for writers out there who want to know, you know, the behind the scenes of how this goes down and how you communicate with your artists and things like that. Because, you know, it's definitely something that you have to learn how to communicate with your artist what you want. Now, is your artist in the States or is he?
He's in Canada. He's in rural Quebec. He's a fourth generation farming family. So, you know, he kind of broke the mold and became an artist, but he still lives in rural Quebec.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. See, but that's the thing, right? Because even like during the pandemic, I'm sure you found that obviously we couldn't go anywhere. So how the hell were you supposed to meet with somebody and sit down and say, here's my script, let's go over it together. You had to do it all through the computer. And it's amazing that you were able to find somebody. I mean, they're everywhere now. I mean, the world's become so much smaller with the internet. So that's cool.
That's it. It's just amazing, you know. Yeah. And what's great is, you know, he'll just, you know, he just does his thing and sends it to me. You know, I'll annotate it and send it back to him, and then he'll send me another version. And, you know, we just go through 20, 30 versions of pages sometimes. You know, they're mostly just pencil sketches at first until we've, you know, got it all figured out. And then, you know, he'll color it and do all that. I rarely have any input on that. I'm sure he doesn't want my input on that. This is too orange. Why is this so orange? Yeah, shut up.
Do you find yourself writing the comic as a screenplay first and then adapting it with, you know, splitting it up into panels and stuff like that? Do you still find yourself?
I'm not going to do that going forward. No. Yeah. I mean, I got started that way, but at this point, I think it would just kind of be an extra step.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that was really useful in the beginning, but now, I've just got to, I know what it is. I know what the process is like. I know how Michelle works, so I can tailor it in a way. And, I'm just going to do it as a comic.
Long-term goal. What is it? What's your vision for this project and for the future?
Well, I'd love to see a graphic novel come out of this. I mean, I'd love to take those first seven issues and put together a graphic novel. That's the other great thing is that, for creators is I could never afford to make a graphic novel, right? You would have to then once again, go out and find a publisher and that's a whole thing. But if you can do a Kickstarter for each issue and you can, bootstrap yourself along, you get enough issues, all of a sudden, then, you've got a graphic novel. So that would be great. I'd love to see this story combined into a book because I'm really hopeful that it will be, a good 150, 180 page story, whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah. No, it looks beautiful, man. I really love it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's great to be on the show. It's just really nice to, I just still feel kind of new in the community. I went to Comic-Con in New York, in October, and I was just amazed how people were just so friendly, It's not like a film festival where everyone's, kind of snooty, Who are you, You new guy. Everyone was just doing their own thing, finding their own community, really open, really friendly. It's just awesome. It's like this, you can find your own niche, you can find your own market, you can find your old community and off you go. And it's really supportive. So it's been great in that regard.
Yeah, it's good, man. Do you have any release dates for your other projects on the SHP Comics?
Yeah. So, Woodstake, we're going to go with Zoop on Woodstake. Just out there for people who may have multiple projects, the thing with Kickstarter is you have to completely fulfill before you can start another project.
That's right.
It's going to take me a little while to fulfill. I got to print and mail and, all that stuff. And so we're going to try Zoop and see how that works. So Zoop is a relatively new crowdfunding service. And, I'm sure you've been reading about how people are upset about Kickstarter, implementing blockchain. And some people are jumping ship because of that. And it seems like the market, particularly for comic books, is opening up a little bit. So we're going to try Zoop and see how it works for Woodstake. That's going to start March 1st, the Kickstarter for that one. I'm sorry, Zoop for that one.
I know, right? Yeah, I just say crowdfunding campaign at this point because I'm like, damn, there's Indiegogos, there's Kickstarter, there's Zoop. There's so many GoFundMe. Like, there's just so many out there right now, which I guess is good because, like you said, you have the option to go somewhere else and do that. And so what about the other one?
Erotic. That's going to be on Kickstarter. So I should have completely fulfilled Killing Machine. Woodstake will be closed on Zoop, but not fulfilled. And I'll do Erotic on Kickstarter in April 15th, maybe May 1st. So hopefully bootstrap them all and find some readers and cross my fingers. We'll see how it goes.
Are you going to hit the convention circuit? Are you going to try your luck at behind a table? You going
to
do that?
I'm going to try it. I'm going to my first one March 11th. So I've never done it before, but we'll see how it is. Going? The great thing is, once again, the people there are pretty darn nice. So
Yeah. Where are you going? Where are you going March 11th?
The New England Comic Con. It's a pretty small one. It's in near Worcester, Massachusetts. So it's close drive for me. Yeah. I don't know about Comic Con, in New York or whatever, but I'm going to try a few of the small ones and see.
It's good because it's local enough where you can market yourself as local talent. And I think people tend to, want to support local talent. So, try that angle. I think you'll do great, man. You'll That's it. You're just going to have the bug now. You're going to be like, oh, I got to do another one, man. I got to do another one. Yeah.
Part of me is like, man, I bit off more than I can chew. But I guess it's better than not enough, right?
Yeah. Why not? Just go for it, man.
So now we're going to put the spotlight on you. Uh-oh. You have a captivated audience, right? Give us your elevator pitch. Why the Killing Machine?
Why a Killing Machine? The Killing Machine is hopefully best of both worlds. It's kind of thought-provoking science fiction. And it's also really, action-packed. The lead character is an autonomous robotic commander, so it's got a lot to do. It's a robot warrior put in charge of human soldiers. It's got some, military things in there, some things about the nature of life, robotic life, what makes life, and also just some great battle scenes with an alien race. So I think it's going to be really fun, really compelling from issue one. And as it moves along, I think the deeper elements of the story are going to pay off and it's going to be satisfying in a way that, that's a little more than just a good story, good action story. So I'm hoping I can do both.
Sweet.
Outstanding. Sweet. And where can people reach you?
They can reach me on SeanHainsworthProductions.com, the website, Sean Hainsworth Productions on Facebook. There's a page for The Killing Machine, Kickstarter, Instagram, pretty easy to find. So yeah, if you do a search on Sean Hainsworth Productions or Killing Machine, you should find me.
Outstanding.
Yeah, but just go to Kickstarter and type in Killing Machine. It'll come right up.
Well, the link is also in the summary of this episode. So all you have to do is click on the link and it'll take you directly to his website and you can go from there. Thank you, Sean, for being on the show. Much success to you. You know,
thank you.
You did a fantastic job. First time out the gate, you hit a home run. Congratulations.
Very good. It means a lot coming from you guys.
No worries, Sean. Thank you so much. And we'll hope to see you soon. Maybe come back, dude. You know, another one of these.
Come back and talk about vampires.
There you go. Let's do it.
Yes. I'll make
vampires
sure.
And hippies.
I'll hide my neck.
See you later.
All right, Sean. Take care, bud.
All right. So, Sean Hainsworth, guys. And there's another episode of Catch the Craze. And the link is in the chat. It's also in the summary. So go over there and check it out. Pledge. Pick a tier that works for you, but give it a shot. I mean, the quality, the production is fantastic.
Very nice, dude. The artwork is great. I like those colors. They're nice.
Yeah. The colors are fantastic. And so if you like this episode, give us a thumbs up. You know, again, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Ring that bell so you know you'll find us here every Mondays. You know you'll find us here every Tuesdays and Wednesdays with live shows. Every Fridays with a pre-recorded show. Every Thursdays with What's in the Box. So Monday through Friday is just a couple of nuts. It's all Cast of Craze. What's up, Carolina? Chris in the house.
What up?
You know that every week, we won't let you down. You're going to find your boys here on Catch the Craze. But we also want to, acknowledge the fact that we lost someone special to the independent community today. Unfortunately, we lost Meredith Lundgren. She was one of the Raging team, the girls I called Laverne and Shirley. It's a really sad news. I found out this morning, you know, it was very heartbreaking. You know, she had a big heart. She loved it. She loved comics. She loved helping others. Very selfless in everything she's done. Definitely going to miss her. Join us tomorrow night for the live special with the crew. We're going to play a clip from the Halloween special we had with Meredith and Nita. And we were all dressed up. And Meredith was Kiss. Again, my heart goes out to the family. Prayers out to the family. And Nita, I know that you two were so close. If you ever need to talk, we're here. You know how to reach us. George?
Yeah. No. Nita was huge and a huge proponent and a champion for the indies. She, Meredith. You know, I'm sorry, Meredith. Yeah, I do apologize. Meredith. And she, let me tell you something. I had the privilege to be on their show and I had the privilege to be interviewed by Meredith, and the questions that she asked were questions that were like, oh, okay, I can talk about that. And oh, nobody's asked me that. Like, she just had a way of making you come out of your shell and just talk about, you know, yourself and be comfortable doing so. And to some people, especially indies, we're very introverted and it's hard for us to kind of come out and talk about ourselves and what we're doing and be positive about what we're doing. But her questions were always on point, and her laugh, you know, her and Nita going back and forth, it was just amazing. And she's going to be missed, truly missed. And my heart goes out to her family, and again, like Sam said, to Nita. That was tough this morning, man, when I heard that.
Yeah, so Raging's going on hiatus for a little bit, Nita was very extremely close. They were tight. So it's understandable that the show's going on hiatus. And, I'm just glad that we knew her and we got a chance to be on their show. They were on our show. You know, we did some dual broadcast together. It was fun. With that said, again, thank you guys. Thank you for joining us in the chat.
Yes,
you know, Ani Balaroyo, Carolina Chris, Jonathan Syfax, who am I missing? Biff Bamboom Comics. You know, thank you for supporting the indies that come on the show. Pops Van Zant, thank you for tagging the Dudester. We've been doing this. You know, we launched Catch the Craze in 2005. Because we wanted to support independents, because we are independents and we just don't have, we never,
we felt that there wasn't a big enough platform to support the independent community. Everyone's talking about the big two. No one's talking about the other guys. So, you know, we do this for you, and we thank you for your support. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for showing your love and joining the chats for all of the unsung heroes that come on the show who are just trying to fulfill their dreams in life. And that's why we do it. And so join the community, you know, become a crazy. Join us for the ride. There's over 600 episodes on this channel, videos for you to look through, from learning how to be successful at a Comic-Con, running an artist alley table, to running a Kickstarter. We've had so many. We had over, we're going to get to 400 guests in March. By March, we're going to have a 400th episode, which is crazy. So we've interviewed over 400 people. Those are independent out there. So there's so many of us out there, and there's so many more to come. We appreciate everybody out there. Remember, you know what? Make today count. Make every moment count. And don't forget to tell that person that's close to you, you love them. And if you haven't spoken to your brother, your sister, give them a call. You know, if you had a little argument with somebody, go and mend it. You know what? Because you never know. You don't want to have that day come by and you say, you know what? I wish I could have said this. I wish I would have done this. Don't be that. With that said, we appreciate everybody out there. Thank you for supporting Catch the Craze again. Thank you, Carolina Chris. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George and Jim Medina. Peace.
And we are out.
It's just easy. It does not.
Crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce.
Say my name.
Right?
This is what you were thinking?
Crazy.
Oh,
my God.
You described me? He said, I'm the...
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
This is Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.